This is the MJ Morning Show Podcast.
Initiate procedure.
Okay, the MJ Radio Network. We are go.
Go. Now, stand by for the MJ Morning Show.
The MJ Morning Show on Q105. Hey, folks, MJ and the crew here. 6:02. Hey, Coop, how do we get so late? Can you clock manage here and try and make sure that our songs don't run over? We're under pressure over here, man.
I know. I think we played like 2 5-minute songs in that Coop, last group.
Oh, in the lead up to 6 o'clock?
Yeah.
Candle in the Wind got me pumped.
Catch y'all jammed.
I'm ready to attack the day.
Oh, my God. All right, if I don't get on time early, we're going to be screwed because we're starting like 2 minutes late. You know, 2.5 minutes late here on a, what is this? Is this Wednesday? What is this?
Today is Wednesday.
It's not. It's hump day.
Oh, stop.
You don't ever need that again.
Hey, I saw, she's probably one of the most dangerous drivers on the Howard Franklin Bridge earlier on the way in. Oh, my God.
What were they doing?
Well, I'll tell you in a second. I want to keep on time here or else we'll be screwed for the whole rest of the day. So hold on. And then I was just about to pick up the phone and call up 911 to report, but then, well, something I noticed prevented me from calling 911, and I think my read was right. Hold on a sec. We'll get to that in a moment. I'll explain the whole story in just a bit. Lightning with the wind last night. And, you know, the beauty of last night's game was it was a really clean game, and there were no fights at all. Zero fights last night.
Really?
So, no.
Oh. I was going to say, that's boring.
It was a fight every, like, what would you say? Who watched the game?
I watched, like, 4 minutes of the game.
Great.
It was more than me.
And Roxanne, what was it?
More than me.
Roxanne, you're supposed to watch the whole thing.
You watched none?
No.
All right, hold on to the thought. Lightning with the win last night, 4-2 over the New York Islanders. Busy show today on a Wednesday. I'll explain what I saw on the Howard Franklin next. Don't move.
This is the MJ Morning Show Podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
So on the way in this morning, I've driven a lot, obviously, in the Tampa Bay area since February of 1994. And what do you?
Oh yeah, okay. You can give us your driving history.
What are you giving me a for?
What an odd statement. I've driven a lot since 1994.
Yeah, it's very weird. Caught me off guard.
Froggy just made a
stupid thing to say.
Froggy just made a Billy Bassmaster.
Would you look at it? Look at it.
Can you get a Bill Cosby sweater to hold your arms out like a like an ape? Can you do that?
Like I was here last week. I'm sorry I missed the show.
So, Froggy, you got a problem with me establishing the story?
It's a weird thing to say. I've been driving a lot since 1994. Yeah.
No, I said I've driven in Tampa Bay a lot since 1994.
February 10th, you said. Yeah.
There you go.
Specific.
I think it was February 7th, actually, of 1994. But the point is that I've been on the roads a lot, obviously. I've seen a lot. I believe, categorically say that the Tampa Bay area has among the worst drivers, aggressive drivers, road ragers. I've just seen a lot of nasty stuff on the roads over the years. That's the bottom line. And this morning, I'm driving in. It's the 5 o'clock hour, Howard Franklin Bridge. I'm on 275 southbound, and I am still probably on the Hillsborough side, just ready to cross into the Pinellas side. And I just see a blur pass me, and he's changing lanes toward me. I'm in the second lane. I'm not on the far right lane. I'm in the second lane from the right. And this guy went from far left lane to the next lane, and he's then right next to it. It's a blur. And then he quickly goes around the car, and then goes back over to the left. And I mean, the speed at which this guy was going, it had to be a buck 20, a buck 30. It was, I know exactly what it was. It was a gray Chrysler 300, a newer gray Chrysler 300 is what this vehicle was. And this vehicle, this is probably one of the fastest, most reckless guys in this traffic on the bridge and just weaving in and out. And then there's a white pickup truck in the far left lane. And almost slams into the white pickup truck. He's going so fast and he's just weaving and then jams on his brakes. And so I'm getting ready to call 911. And as I'm driving, I see a car next to me. There's a guy driving. I was able to see clearly because of the bridge lights and the guy did not have tinted windows. And I see him on his cell phone. He's on his cell phone. He's talking. And then he's also using his other hand and he's like doing the arm motion. So he's like pointing at the car and I can see he's like hand talking while he's driving.
Oh no.
All right. So I'm like,
which is equally unsafe, by the way.
I'm like, dude, put both hands on the wheel.
He has to describe his story and use his hands even though he's on the phone.
This guy's got cell phone in one hand. And then he's using his other hand to point, but I can see he's pointing at the vehicle and he's doing his arm like he's weaving in and out. So the guy was clearly on the phone with 911. But then what the clincher was, and I was getting ready to call 911, then a Pinellas County Sheriff's vehicle, then I saw pulled right next to me and clearly had eyes. So between the guy on the phone and then the police officer, Pinellas County Sheriff's deputy vehicle that was headed and saw this guy as well, didn't go, definitely was speeding up. So I think was maybe moving toward this vehicle. But I decided I wasn't going to clog up 911 because it looked like the cop had eyes on this vehicle. And then certainly the driver next to me, I would bet $1,000 was on the phone with 911.
So the cop had eyes on him, but you didn't see the cop turn his lights on.
I did not.
So maybe he was calling one of his coworkers.
Well, because I was getting off at that point. We were getting off at Ulmerton MLK.
Okay.
So I didn't see what happened a little further down. But the cop in the police SUV was definitely had eyes on the vehicle as well. So clearly could get on frequency, call FHP, for instance, or, make some type of call. I don't know if he got a tag number, but just really miraculous that there wasn't like a nasty, massive wreck on the Howard Franklin this morning with the way that this driver was driving. It was reckless beyond all belief. You know, it could have been an early morning morons in the news. And, can you imagine a wreck like that and the Howard Franklin's jammed up and you're behind it and I got to get to work to do the show? We all have to get to work to do the show. Can you imagine if there was a big accident, the whole damn bridge is backed up and
it was busy this morning.
Did we all call into the station and Coop would just kind of put us on a conference call and we would do the show from our cell phones in the car?
But I was thinking about that. Oh my God, if this guy wrecks, first of all, at 120, 130 miles an hour, it's going to be nasty.
Yeah. So around him.
The whole damn bridge is going to be all clogged up like a cork in a bottle. I'm like, oh my God. The way this guy was driving is like, it is inevitable. It is going to happen soon. There is going to be a nasty wreck.
And fatalities at those speeds.
At that speed, yeah, absolutely. And he probably would have been number one. But just absolutely crazy. I don't know what the hell is wrong with people. All right. Speaking of absolute morons, a tasty pile of morons in the news. Good stuff, including a little tip. If you're planning on hiring one of these, they really don't exist. And most likely, I'll explain it all next. You got to hear this. MJ Morning Show, Q105. And the morons of the news next.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Do you guys have any idea where I'm going with this? I like to sometimes keep you guys in the dark and not fill you in on where I'm headed because I like to get some natural reactions. And what little teasers, what little clues Froggy, did I give out in the last couple of minutes on what the first item in Morons in the News is going to be?
Something about a moron.
He was in the news.
Yeah.
You weren't paying attention, were you?
Of course I was. I paid attention to every word you say.
Hi, Roxanne, what did I say?
Something about if you hire one of these, something bad could happen.
Well, you're close. If you try to hire one of these, you're not going to get what you think you're getting.
See, that's what I said.
Fess, you have any idea what I'm talking about? You've known me long enough. Any idea?
I might have a couple of ideas, but I think it involves law enforcement.
Masseuse?
Okay, so if you hire...
Yeah, I mean, I'm going down Froggy's Avenue.
It's not a masseuse, Froggy, no. Where do you think I'm headed with this?
If you hire some kind of companionship?
No. Okay. Let me just cut to the chase here. All right.
We're way off.
Woman tries to hire...
Oh, I know what you're going to say. A hitman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That never works out.
Yeah.
Never works out.
It doesn't. And when I saw this story, it immediately conjured up, I don't know, dozens of stories that I've seen over the years, over the decades while doing this morning show. It's when somebody tries to hire a hitman to take out a rival, a relative, a spouse. It is like 99.9% of the time. It's like a sting operation. It's a cop. Come on.
Okay.
There's really, I mean, of course there are hitmen. There are mob hits. There's no doubt about it. But regular person trying to hire a hitman to take somebody out, it generally doesn't work out. You generally get arrested because with almost every story that I've seen over the years, it's a cop. It's an undercover. They're hiring somebody who is not a real hitman like the guys that took out Jimmy Hoffa.
Okay, but all these stories, all these 99.9% of these setup stories are all kind of similar. They meet at a location. They discuss who the person is. And the fee is always a ridiculously low amount of money.
$10,000.
Yeah.
And you got to pay up front to really... That's make the person guilty.
Yeah, you're better off just doing it yourself. Because
What are you saying?
I mean, if you want something done right.
I mean, if you want to do it and not have a, someone that could potentially snitch on you.
Why would you even
snitch?
What? Why would you even bring it up in that context?
Roxanne, it really depends who it is. I mean, if it's Doug, I mean, you're the first suspect.
Oh, my God.
That's true. Yeah.
Anyway, the latest story that I saw was out of Pennsylvania. And we're living here in
Allentown.
That would be correct, Froggy. Thank you.
I was waiting for somebody.
Yeah, there was a. You are correct.
Sweet.
trying to think of a funnier name over Pennsylvania town.
And I'm living here in Pittsburgh. Is that what you?
That's like Wilkes-Barre or something like that.
Home of the Office, right?
Wasn't it?
Scranton, the Wilkes-Barre, the Wilkes-Barre Scranton area. Yeah. Home of Dunder Mifflin, Pennsylvania branch. Anyway, here's the deal. An undercover operation led by the vice unit of the Allentown Police Department led to charges against a woman who sought to hire a hitman to kill her husband. She claimed that the husband, was abusive. Allentown woman busted trying to arrange a deal with an undercover police officer. Claudia F. Carrion, Claudia F. Carrion, 44, or I wonder if Miss Carrion has any carry-on luggage. What do you think?
Ironically, she always checks her bags.
C-A-R-R-I-O-N, Carrion. Claudia F. Carrion, 44, charged with solicitation to commit homicide after meeting with the police officer late last week. A confidential informant told police that Carrion was inquiring about finding a hitman to kill her husband. So Allentown police sent a vice unit detective to a meeting. Allegedly, she agreed to pay $4,000 to have her spouse murdered.
Which just doesn't seem like a lot of money for this kind of job.
No, that's bargain basement price. That's like the Dollar Tree of hitmen. What's the everything's a dollar store?
The Dollar Tree.
That's Dollar Tree. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I get confused. Dollar General, Family Dollar, Dollar Tree, and, need $50 to make you holler. I get confused with all those. Well, that's a good name for a store. Need $50 to make you holler.
What would they sell there?
A little wordy. Big signage might be big.
It's a lot of neon.
Anyway, a carry-on luggage lady could not pay all the money up front, so she gave the detective $100.
What?
Here's $100.
What a joke.
And then she agreed to pay weekly $100 installments. It's like a murder. It's a hitman layaway program or something.
That won't be easy to difficult to trace.
Oh, my God.
So for 40 weeks, she would make payments? Is that the financing terms?
You've heard of those car lots, like, you know, buy here, pay here. Buy here, pay here, hitman. You know,
kill here.
Except, my God. So cops obviously took her into custody. The officer was wired up. They got her, you know, nailed to the wall.
She's the worst criminal ever.
She's now in the Lehigh County Jail in Pennsylvania. Bail set at $500,000. Let's see if you can pay that off with $100 weekly installments.
That'd be a little bit longer to settle that debt.
Oh, my God. Folks, if you're trying to hire a hitman and you have a meeting set up, there is a 99% chance that you are meeting with a cop and you're going to have your hands in cuffs. You're going to have some nice bracelets on very, very shortly.
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
There's always been a steady flow of morons and just idiot human beings, but I don't know. It seems that over the years that it just has become more and more. And, well, you know, Florida certainly is a magnet, you know, because Florida draws people from all over the country. So that's why, you know, we've got really bad drivers. Did you see some of the latest traffic stats about the Tampa Bay area? And, you know, we're among, like I said, we're among the worst in the nation for traffic crashes.
Right.
Yeah.
Fourth city in the nation.
All right. We'll get into that in just a bit. But listen to this guy. So not only do we have people that move from all over the country to come to Florida, so that brings us, you know, all kinds of riffraff. It brings us all kinds of bad drivers. And then we also get tourists from all over the country. So that's on top of the folks that actually move here. What is your stun face over there?
Last year,
the professor's giving me the stun face.
Last year, 2020, if there was a bright side, a silver lining to the whole pandemic for Floridian drivers, there were no Canadians on the road.
Oh, you got a problem with those Canadian license plates?
I have a problem with Canadian drivers. And I have problems with guys who wear black socks with sandals.
Okay.
And well, those are Canadians.
Wait a minute. I've seen you with black socks and sandals.
I've had problems with myself.
Way to call him out there, Froggy. All right, so here's a dude from Texas. You got a guy from Texas. He's in the Florida panhandle. He's on vacation. He tells an Asian family to go back where they came from because the kids of the Asian family pet his dogs.
What?
Really?
Isn't that what dog owners kind of want when you're out and about with your dog, is for kids to come up and pet him, if it's a friendly dog?
I don't want people to touch my dog.
A Texas guy on vacation here in Florida in the panhandle. He's now facing a hate crime charge. He allegedly physically assaulted the father, you know, the husband in the family, family of Asian descent, used racist language. This is all according to the Okaloosa Sheriff's Office. So here's the deal. 54-year-old tourist Wade Anton told an Asian woman and her children go back where they came from, uttered the racial slur during a verbal altercation. This happened late last week at Beasley Park in Okaloosa Island.
Wait a minute. You doing a morning show there?
Yeah. Beasley Park. I don't know if it's connected to the Beasley Media Group or if it's a relative, but it is Beasley Park. So the sheriff's office, they put out a release that this Anton guy charged with hate crime related battery. Yeah, he reportedly told sheriff's office deputies that the altercation began because the woman's children were petting his dog. Come on, really? Yeah, Anton said that he told the children to leave his dogs alone, but they ignored him, and that's when things got a little out of hand. The woman's husband told the sheriff's office that Anton was approximately 25 feet away from his family when the verbal argument began, but then Anton ran around the park railings and began punching the husband, the Asian husband, repeatedly.
Uh-oh. What's the matter with people?
The woman's husband then told deputies that as Anton was running toward him, he pulled out a handgun to protect himself.
Oh my gosh. Good for him. That's how he had the law in this state.
Stand your ground.
Yeah. Two men were then separated by witnesses. Anyway, this guy, Anton, the tourist from Texas, taken into custody. And last I saw was being held on $10,000 bond as he awaited a preliminary hearing with a judge, which he's probably out by now. This happened over the weekend.
Are they going to send Anton back to where he came from? Is he going back to Texas or he has to
stay? Why don't you go back to where you came from? What was that, Waco, Texas or something?
Poor dog. So I was like, geez, I didn't know my owner was such a racist.
Did we know what kind of dog it was?
It does not have that information. Oh, it was a cockadoodle.
I don't know.
It does not say what kind of dog it was, no. I wish I had that information for you, Roxanne. But what is wrong with the kids petting a dog?
Like when you walk Scout in Gatsby, you want kids to come up and have a conversation piece.
No, don't come.
Yeah, MJ's dogs make it very clear they don't want to be pet.
Yeah.
Because they're just yapping at you.
I wouldn't say that.
They're not aggressive, they're not.
Last person to pet your dog dropped it.
Look, they're hyper Jack Russell Terriers. And, you know, they love people. They love to be pet.
My dog loves people a little too much.
They love to be petted. What's the proper tense there?
It's pat.
It's patted.
Pat.
Well, whatever the hell it is. But, hey, Florida folks. Happens all the time here. I mean, listen, you got morons nationwide, but we just have a high concentration.
You check some real prizes.
And of course, Largo has been a hot spot lately. Here in the state of Florida, it just seems that every other story has been Largo these days. Hey, on a really cute, positive note, Fester loves the singing principal. Were you moved? Were you touched, Frog Fester?
I was touched.
Hold on.
Did you ask if I touched Fester?
Well, that happens.
No, I didn't say that. I was asking Fester, and I accidentally said Froggy, if he was touched by this particular story. And
hate singing teachers. Come on.
It's the principal.
It's the singing principal.
It's a singing principal at graduation, and it is absolutely lovely. In fact, it's the feel-good story of the day. Froggy, would you attack this principal if he started singing?
I'll kick him right in the crotch.
Stop. No, you won't.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
And I wish you joy and happiness. But above all this, I wish you love. And
this is him. Froggy, why are you going?
Because it's so selfish.
Oh, no. This song.
It's so selfish.
Why do you think it's selfish?
Let me make it about myself when it's all about the kids. You know what? I can sing a song. Let me go up there and sing and make it all about me.
Well, hold on.
Well, it's not about you, principal barely can sing.
All right, folks. I hit you with the audio right away. That is the singing principal at a recent graduation in High Point, North Carolina. The principal sang to the graduating class Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You. Well, technically, wouldn't it be the original? It's Dolly Parton, right?
Yeah, it's Dolly Parton's song.
And then Whitney Houston did the song for, what was that, the Bodyguard movie, right?
Yes, the Bodyguard. And
that was
Kevin Costner.
That was a smash hit. The movie as well as the song from Whitney Houston.
He sang the Whitney Houston version of the song because Dolly's version had like a banjo in the back.
Marcus Marcus Gauss, or Gauss, principal of the Andrews High School in High Point, North Carolina, said that he sings at graduation every year, but had a special connection to the class of 2021. This class was my first year. They were freshmen my first year in. According to the singing principal, the song echoed the sentiments of all the faculty, and he was singing to the graduating class at the recent graduation, and I will always love you. I think it's lovely. And Froggy, you wanna turn this into a problem?
Well, it's just a selfish act of the stupid principal.
He sings every year, Froggy.
Dude, he's singing a song to the kids.
I would have started booing his ass. First of all, he practices probably all year for this. He's like, I can't wait for my next performance at the graduation. The kids really look forward. It's making it all about him. It's not about you, stupid principal.
All these miserable kids are going to want to graduate because I have a good song lined up this year.
He's singing a song to the kids.
I know what everybody's getting ready for. My big performance. I've been doing it for 15 years straight.
Froggy. He's singing to
this song is giving me tears in my eyes.
How is that selfish?
Do you not see what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
It's a tribute to the class. He loves them.
How much attention do you need?
Froggy, none of us see what you're saying here.
He's just an attention-starved principal who's got to make it about himself.
See, now I just want to know what songs he's sang in years past. Last year,
you guys have a great idea. I have a song. Listen, I go, doesn't it sound good?
No, you really shouldn't sing it.
And he also said what his backup song was. If he wasn't going to do I Will Always Love You, this was his backup song.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. Yeah. You other brothers can't deny. Yeah, when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Want to pull up tough, you know
that was his backup song.
Yeah, totally brings down the house.
How selfish of a song would that have been, Froggy?
And then my triple backup, everybody. I don't know if you know the hit Mambo Number 5 by Lou Bega.
Yeah.
To our graduating class.
Oh, smart. Speaking of Mambo Number 5, seriously. Speaking of Mambo Number 5, do you remember we did a parody to Client Number 9? Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Remember,
what was her name?
That might have been the Schnitt Show only.
I remember it.
It was Elliot Spitzer. And remember Elliot Spitzer, the former governor of New York that got in trouble for buying hookers? And, I mean, that was a pretty huge story. And remember, he was known as Client Number 9 from the madam that was supplying the hookers. And I told the story. I once rode up a chairlift with Elliot Spitzer.
Ew, really?
Yeah, he was on my chairlift, chair number 5 at Vail, like 5 years ago.
Chair number 5.
It was chair number 5.
Client number 9. Client number 9
on chair number 5. So he was with a Vail instructor. He was having a private lesson.
Was that before or after?
Oh, that was after. That was well after.
The guy's a TV show now. He's fine.
Well after Client Number 9. The reason why I'm bringing this up is guess who was at Chloe's graduation on Monday in New York?
Not Elliot.
Yeah, Elliot Spitzer was there because apparently the woman that he's dating, her daughter went to my daughter's high school, Marymount, in Manhattan. So Elliot was outside after everyone let out. He's on the, I actually said hi. I said, hey, and listen, we have face masks on, but I had a conversation with you on chair 5. I was the radio guy. And he said, oh, yeah, I remember. I was with my instructor, Derek. I'm like, yeah, you were. I had a conversation with Client Number 9, Elliot Spitzer, at Chloe's graduation on Monday. Just
all girls' school graduation.
Yeah.
How many roses did he give out at the ceremony?
What'd you say? All girls?
Just all girls graduation. Like, keep him away from, you know, a little young for him, but maybe not.
They graduated last year. They're all of age now.
Yeah, I mean, he
seems like a good guy. He's just, you know,
totally chucked his whole career away. I mean, just
he has a TV show.
Yeah, he's fine.
He's fine.
Oh, what TV show does he have?
I've seen him on CNN. Or one of them.
What do you mean he has a TV show?
Oh my God, you're gonna make me look up this jackass.
Elliot's. Oh, I think that was a while ago. Didn't he have something?
He had a TV show. I don't know. At some point. Yeah, that was through all this.
That was. You're right. It was on some TV. You're right. But that was a long time ago.
In 2013, he had Viewpoint with Elliot Spitzer.
Yeah, now him and Jeffrey Toobin have a show together. Deviant sexual behavior.
Spitzer.
Spitzing on Toobin.
I love the fact that
live.
I love the fact that Jeffrey Toobin gets caught on a Zoom call. You know, personally manipulating himself. And his name is Toobin.
How great would it be?
Toobin with Toobin.
To have Elliot Spitzer, Jeffrey Toobin, and
Bill Wiener. Cosby.
Do a show together. Yeah,
yeah. Anyway, squeeze in the Wiener guy.
Andrew Wiener.
Spitzer was very nice, but listen, you can't look past, you know, the crazy crap that he was involved with. Anyway, Froggy, the principal singing to the kids was absolutely wonderful and fantastic.
I'm sure people agree with me. Very selfish.
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
The phones blew up. How many calls did we? I think we took like 20 calls
on the air. We had another 100 calls that Coop couldn't even get on to.
Yeah, so I asked the question. I'm about to bid adieu to 32, and I said, "What am I talking about?" I turned it into a little quiz. I'm like, little game, guessing game. What the hell am I saying that I'm about to bid adieu or say goodbye to 32? And people were guessing left and right. What was it? The last caller? The last caller, literally, that I was about to take, I was about to do the big reveal. The last caller said, you're going to say goodbye to one of your teeth? And yeah, an adult human has 32 teeth, and I have all 32 teeth. I'm 55 years old now. I still have all 32 teeth, including the four wisdom teeth in the back. And, my lower right, I cracked it, and it's just kind of crumbling a little bit, and now it's starting to hurt, so it's got to go.
Your tooth is crumbling?
Well, little pieces are kind of busting off, so and now it's like right now my tooth is hurting. It's got to come out.
Oh.
And I said to Fester, this is a couple of days ago, dude, I got to get this tooth out. And Fester says, hey, what about our mangled mouth dentist, Dr. Childers? Now, when we did the old MJ Morning Show, we did a contest called Mangled Mouth. And Fester, how many people did we give cosmetic dentistry to? And the contest was great. People sent in images of their totally busted up mouths and their awful grills and, you know, all kinds of teeth problems, snaggle teeth, everything. And we did a contest for years.
You did it several times.
We did it I think we might have done it numerous times a year with Dr. Childers.
Hundreds of them.
Well-known cosmetic dentist down in Sarasota. And we gave away tons of these things. So Fester, you go to Dr. Childers, correct?
Yeah, he's my family doctor. We make the drive to Sarasota. Yeah. He's that good.
And Fester said, what about Dr. Childers? I'm like, you know what? Let me contact Dr. Childers because, you know, I need to get, obviously, an x-ray. I want to try to schedule this thing so it's somewhat convenient. I'm doing two radio shows a day. I've got Dr. Childers on the phone, and I spoke to him off the air like 10 minutes ago, and he asks me a question, which I need a decision. I need help with making the decision. Dr. Childers, welcome to the MJ Morning Show again after all these years.
Good morning, MJ. It has been quite a while.
Anyway, we had a great time with you in the Mangle Mouth Contest, and you did countless procedures for our listeners with really busted up mouths.
You know, we actually ran the promotion twice for your radio show, and as I recall, we did about 25 patients and just under $400,000 worth of dentistry for your listeners.
I mean, we got all kinds of responses. People were crying how their lives were changed when you did the mangle mouth with us, you know, to fix all kinds of just dental disasters. Anyway, Doc, thank you for being so accommodating, and I just said, is there any chance I can get my tooth out maybe on Friday after the morning show? I could miss the afternoon schnitz show, and then you even said, what about Saturday morning? I'm like, whoa. And then I said, are you guys open? You said no. But then you said that you'd come in after your golf game on Saturday morning and yank my tooth out?
Yes, sir. I will accommodate you on Saturday right around noon after I play a round of golf.
Hope you don't have the yips from playing golf.
And I hope you have a good golf.
I will not have any beer that morning either.
What was that, Doc?
I said I won't drink any beer that morning.
that's fantastic. But what question, do you remember about 10 minutes ago when we spoke off the air, you asked me a question, do I want blank, yes or no? And you remember what you asked me?
It was, do you want to be sedated?
I want to be sedated.
Yes. Why not?
And you do.
Do Froggy, I do?
Yeah,
I had two out, and it took me 3 weeks to recover. Three weeks.
What do you mean? Hold on, Doc. If you pull my wisdom tooth out on Saturday morning after you play 9 or 18?
I'll play 18 Saturday morning.
All right. So after, what is your suggestion, first of all, on the sedation? That's number one. And then number two, if I get the tooth yanked out on, you know, Saturday at noon, will I be recovered enough to be back to do the morning show on Monday morning?
Okay. First of all, sedation is for your comfort, yep, not for mine. You know, it should be a pretty straightforward procedure. I can tell you a lot more once I see a radiograph and see what the root structure is like. But if it's a favorable root structure, I mean, honestly, you'll probably be having a nice dinner Saturday night and definitely out doing whatever you want to do on Sunday. Should be no reason you're out for a couple of weeks.
Well, I did medicate afterwards, well, and mine got infected, I think.
Bro, you're a freak.
Mine got impacted.
You're a freak. All right. You know, I've just heard all these things about a dry socket.
Yeah, that's what I got. Dry socket. Two of them.
All right. So once you look at my x-ray, you'll be able to say that this ought to be easy breezy?
Yes, sir. And dry sockets, by the way, only happen in about maybe 1.5-2% of the cases.
Well, that's fraud. That's
fraud. The patients have not followed the proper post-op.
That's froggy right there, Doc.
That's froggy, 100%.
Yeah, you're not supposed to smoke, apparently.
Froggy, you're a total screw-up. So, all right, Doc, let me check with Michelle, but I think Saturday at noon sounds great for you to yank my tooth out.
Very good. Just let me know, MJ, and I'll be there for you.
Do I get to keep the tooth, or is that like a violation of, like, you know, biohazard stuff?
Well, it is a violation, but we can sterilize the tooth if you want to keep it.
Gotcha.
Nobody wants that mangled little nub of a tooth.
Hey, I can give it away on Monday's show.
Make a necklace out of it.
Hey, Michelle sent me a wisdom tooth story you're not going to believe. Yeah. Hey, Doc, I'll be in touch. Thank you so much, Dr. Childers.
Okay. Hey, one final thought, MJ. If you give your tooth away, they have your DNA.
We can clone
MJs. Yeah.
Now, as far as the sedation, would I be knocked out totally or...
No, I do not do general anesthesia. It's a lighter sedation. We can use a combination of pills and even run an IV line if we need to.
Okay. Like laughing gas?
All right, let me decide. All right, Doc, I'll be in touch later today. Thank you, buddy.
Yes, ma'am. Have a good day. Bye.
Yeah, this thing is going. The wisdom tooth's got to go.
Sounds like a fun weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic. You know what? The wisdom tooth story that Michelle found, you got to hear this story. It's crazy. All right, hold on. I'll get to that next on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Congrats to the Lightning last night and the win. The series tied up now in the semifinals for the Stanley Cup playoffs. The final last night, 4-2, and that puts the Islanders at one game and the Lightning now at 1-1. And what happens here is they head up to New York, and the next game is going to be Thursday. So series split now. 1-1, and they head up to New York. The Lightning, good luck. Very civilized, quiet game last night. Not a lot of fights. All right, so Michelle gives me this story. So I've been yakking about my wisdom teeth now for a couple of weeks with Michelle. I talked about it on the air last week, and Michelle sends me a story. This is 2 days ago. Michelle sends me an item, and... you know, it was while we were, what's today? Today's what? It was while we were in New York for Chloe's graduation on Monday and her belated high school graduation. And Michelle sends me a link. Michelle sends me stuff all the time. She's great. I mean, Michelle, she has her little feed on her phone, her news feed, and she sends me show prep all day long. Michelle sends me an email that says, "You better not." And then there's a link to a story, and it happened to be one of those, you know, Dear Prudence advice column stories.
You know,
are still around.
I read them all the time. I love them.
Which I don't know if they're real or if they have a staff that makes these things up. But who the hell knows? Anyway, Michelle, speaking of wisdom teeth and the fact that I have to have one yanked out because it's a mess right now. Michelle sends me this, the headline, "Help! My boyfriend gave me the creepiest anniversary gift imaginable. It's crazy. Listen to this. Dear Prudence, my boyfriend has always been terrible at giving gifts. For our 8-year anniversary, I gave him lots of hints that I wanted something special. In all the previous years, he gave nothing. This year, he said he got me something special, meaningful. And stupidly, I got my hopes up. On our anniversary day, he gave me his, wait for it, wisdom tooth.
Oh, that's sweet.
Gross.
He had to have it extracted a few weeks earlier, and he kept it so he could give it to me as a part of himself.
I like it.
I'm upset beyond words. How do I teach an otherwise wonderful man how to give good gifts without specifying exactly what I want? Anyway, Prudence goes into the answer, whoever the hell Prudence is. And, you know, it talks about, you know, the gift list. Yeah, first anniversary. These are wedding anniversaries, though.
I think those are dumb.
Yeah, you know, I never really believed in this. Yeah, the whole, oh, you give up. But again, those are wedding anniversaries. It's not the anniversary of, like, being your boyfriend. You know, 8 years. I mean, that's a long time to be a boyfriend without, like, getting engaged or becoming a fiancé, right?
I mean, right. At least he's some kind of commitment. He's giving her a tooth.
I gave... When I had my first kidney stones, first two, I put them in earrings and gave them to Kim. Yeah. She thought it was very sweet.
Kidney stone earrings.
She thought it was amazing.
Oh, yeah, sure you did. No, but you look at, like, anniversary gifts by year. First anniversary paper. Second is cotton. Third.
Cotton? What do you...
third.
Bag of cotton
balls.
Here's
a bunch of cotton.
here's a pack of Q-tips.
What?
I think these are dumb, but I'm not married, so maybe you guys do like them.
Third year is beef jerky. Fourth year is... no, I'm kidding. But I thought these things were always silly, these, you know, anniversary things.
If beef jerky was really on the list, then it would be an awesome list.
35th anniversary, what is the traditional gift?
Aluminum.
It's a used old beer can. It's an empty. Coral.
So, coral?
Yeah, go to some endangered protected reef and snap off a piece of coral.
Oh, man.
Break some environmental laws.
I never told you about the time I almost got pinched for smuggling coral back into the country from Bermuda.
Are you serious?
Almost got pinched, and yes, I'm serious.
What happened?
I almost got pinched smuggling coral.
Well, tell the story.
Well, you look like a piece of sea life.
You said that five times.
So I'm in Bermuda, right? And in the beaches of Bermuda, there's all this broken off coral. It's not part of the big coral reef. Just broken pieces
of
floating around.
On the beach, you find pieces of coral.
So we picked up like half a bucket full. And we're like, this is great. We're going to bring it back to back home. Little did I know, you can't bring it back home. You can't, TSA or the customs in Bermuda coming back into America, they don't want you to bring in these pieces of sea life.
Oh, what do you say? The TSA or customs in a, all right, so you're talking about, it's Bermuda, is it Bermuda law that you can't take, like, pieces of coral out of the country, or is it our customs and border protection that don't want you bringing stuff into our country.
It was American customs, but you do it in Bermuda.
Right. Yeah, so in the Bahamas, there are certain spots where you can clear customs over there. So that was, okay, gotcha.
So we're clearing customs, and my bag gets picked to go through. And we stuffed them in like a Pringles can.
So you kind of knew you were doing something bad?
Oh, we needed to snuff. I didn't know.
Of course, Fester had a Pringles can in his luggage.
Do
you know how much Pringles is in Bermuda? It was like $12.
He had Famous Amos chocolate chip cookie bags. Speaking of beef jerky, it was in there. He had pork rinds. He had one of those big 36-count display boxes of Snickers bars that you see at the store, all in his luggage.
All in my luggage. Yeah. So it was the Snicker bars that must have set off the camera.
Fried chicken in there in a bag.
So all sugar packs.
Yeah. I get sent off to the side, and then the customs agent is there, and she has me fill out a declaration form. And she goes,
she says,
is there anything in your bag? And I was like, I don't think so. But I checked, yes, there might be, right? So I declared it.
What? So you just set your own red flag off.
I told you, is there anything in the bag we should know about? I was like, no, just a couple of souvenirs, a couple of things we picked up.
Tess, you're a putz. All right, go ahead.
And then she goes, is there anything else? And I was like, well, yeah, we got a couple of shells from the beach. She goes, you know, you can't bring endangered life or sea life back to the States. And I was like, I didn't know this.
And I don't have a Bohemian Stingray.
So I hit the yes that I might have something in my bag.
Well, if you just set up a giant red flag.
If I said no, and
might as well just set up a drug smuggler. Why are you just standing there in the middle of the airport? I'm a drug smuggler.
Does crack count?
I'm a mule.
I'm Fester Escobar.
First of all, if I would have said no, and then they would have found it, I would have lied on a federal document, and then it would have been like evading custom officer.
You wouldn't
charges.
Have known. Yeah. You said, I didn't know I can't take this piece
that
of...
That doesn't cut it. Yeah. You can't go to customs and say, I didn't know you could smuggle this cocaine in my butt. No, you can't do that.
Fester is not El Chapo. Fester is El Gordo.
So, I was like, listen, I told you we have some shells in there. If something I have in there is more important than I think it is, I'm marking yes. And she went through the luggage, and she found the Pringles can. And she thought she was like just busting El Chapo. She was like,
sour cream and onion, huh?
What's all this? I'm like, I told you it was in there.
All right, so what happened?
You don't look like the light Pringle type.
Did they take it, or were you able to travel with your shells or coral, whatever?
They took it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, they took it. And my wife's like, don't worry. They didn't find it in the other bag. So I got all this coral that I smuggled back in from Bermuda, and that's it. I didn't get arrested.
You're never going to be able to go back to Bermuda.
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
Roxanne over there, and Fester and Froggy, and this is just awful. You know, we do have a good deal of cretins in the state of Florida. I think that we have a concentration of super cretins here in the Tampa Bay area. You know, just the stories that we've had over the years. But what kind of a lowlife would do this? And there's a good image of this guy. I can't believe. Is there any update, Roxanne, in the last couple of days?
Okay, no. I'm just seeing stories that are 4 days old, but you're looking at one image of a thief who's taking the Ronald McDonald box, and then I found a different story on Fox 13 with a different-looking guy. So I don't know if this is a coordinated effort or, you know, just multiple people are doing this.
Well, here's the deal. Somebody is stealing the Ronald McDonald House charity boxes from Tampa Bay area McDonald's. So since May 26th, seven thefts of these charity boxes that typically are up on the counter, right? At McDonald's.
This is like a little tower. It looks like it's
a little house.
Yeah.
I've seen them on the counter, but then I'm looking at a surveillance snapshot, and it looks like a plasticky, like acrylic, Lucite looking.
And you drop the quarter in the top, and you try to land it on a certain lever, and you might win a free burger.
Oh, that's right.
Something.
If you drop the quarter and it lands, you win a prize. Yeah, I've seen it. Anyway, this is insane. So Crime Stoppers here in Tampa Bay, they're trying to get to the bottom of, at this point, seven different thefts of these Ronald McDonald House charity boxes. I'm looking at a Fox 13 piece right now from Evan Axelbank. By the way, I ran into Evan Axelbank in line at the Verizon Wireless store on Swan and Southdale Mabry a couple of months back.
When I drove that Ford Escort wagon, my axle actually broke at a bank. That's crazy.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's crazy. Right, so listen to this. The thief who is doing this is not stealing from McDonald's, said Dustin Portillo of Casper's Company. Now, his last name is spelled P-O-R-T-I-L-L-O. Now, if it was Jose, I would say Portillo. But I'm guessing since his first name is Dustin, it's probably Portillo.
I do a lot of interviews with Dustin for another show.
So
it's Portillo.
It is. Okay, I was going to say, it's Portillo.
It's Portillo.
No, it's not. It's Portillo. So he's with Casper's.
Mi amo es Dustin.
Casper's owns, 60 McDonald's franchises in the Tampa area. Casper's, I think, is like the biggest holder of McDonald's nationwide. But this Dustin Portillo guy says that whoever's doing this is stealing from a 9-year-old kid who's going through leukemia treatment. And the Ronald McDonald houses are fantastic. I've done with the MJ Morning Show over the years, I've done a number of events with the Ronald McDonald House. In fact, I once did an event in downtown Tampa near TGH on Davis Islands with Tony Hawk. I did an appearance with Tony Hawk, you know, the skateboard dude. And he was a cool guy. He was a nice guy, Tony Hawk. Anyway, but the Ronald McDonald House, their mission, the first one opened up in Philly back in 1974. And what it does, it allows parents to stay close to their children or their kid who's being hospitalized so they don't have expensive bills for staying at a hotel while their child is getting treatment at a hospital. In many cases, it's a specialty and it's not close to their home.
Right. We have some renowned physicians that take care of children, pediatric physicians, surgeons here in our Tampa Bay area. So you get families, international families, families coming from all over to stay here, and they can be, it's like the worst time in your life when your child's going through something like that and they make it bearable.
I'm looking at video here, June 10th. So this is just a couple of days ago, June 10th in Wesley Chapel. A suspect is shown eating and you can tell he's looking around, and then he makes a couple of trips and he was able to break the security device which kept the collection box for the Ronald McDonald House. So this guy bought some food, sitting at a table, and he's then the whole time he's eating, he's scouting and scoping and casing the joint on how he's going to rip off the box with all of the money that people donated to the Ronald McDonald House. What kind of sicko would do this?
Okay, the security device you speak of looks like it's just a little lock that you could buy at like the Five and Dime. Is there a small lock?
Those cheap little locks with the keys that you...
Yeah, but still, how does he get that? This is just plastic.
He had a little bolt cutter with
him. So he takes it, he puts it under his jacket, then he walks out. Apparently, he was on a motorcycle, and, you know, you've got seven of these boxes that have been ripped off since late May. They think it might be the same person,
there's like, how much money is he getting?
This is a really low reward
crime. I've got $70 so far.
In change.
I mean, I don't get it.
Why do you steal a toy from a kid with cancer? I mean, you're at it.
It's just, that's the worst thing you could do.
Terrible karma.
And it's bad this year because it's a pandemic year. And in a normal year, the boxes at 200 Tampa Bay area McDonald's taken $150,000. Wow. But receipts are lower because of the pandemic in the past year. So Crime Stoppers Tampa Bay, they want to find this cretin.
Oh, yeah.
Coop, did you get some of the images? There are a couple of good surveillance video shots of this guy. Someone's going to recognize him. Do you have it on the website?
Yeah, we have the Wesley Chapel surveillance and the Zephyr Hills Police Department post.
All right, so go to MJMorningShow.com. Someone's going to recognize this guy. Go to MJMorningShow.com. Is it a main feature or is it daily drivel?
It's a main feature.
Okay, main feature. Somebody find this guy. This is a really sad, sick individual. Hey, Fester, I gave you a mission yesterday.
Yes.
Do you have a special report on the mission I gave Fester? On the mission I gave you.
Yes,
sorry.
Yes, I do.
I gave Fester an assignment yesterday, and Fester has a full report next. What was it? Again, we want to do good for the community. We'll explain Fester doing good. Next on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105. So stand by, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, you've seen all of the stories about all the ransomware and the hacking and everything. Are your files on your computer safe? What about all your photos? What about all your cherished items that are on your computer? Carbonite. Carbonite will expertly protect all of your data. Don't risk losing all of your cherished photos, bank records, everything. Back up your files with one click with Carbonite. It's always on. It's continuously updating your files and backing you up. Carbonite can back up all your devices. Don't worry. Reduce risk with Carbonite. And right now with Carbonite, get 30% off for a limited time. 30% off. Go to Carbonite.com. That's Carbonite.com. All right. Next, Fester and the special mission. He's got a full report coming up. Don't move.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
The assignment that I dealt Fester stems from an item that we mentioned at the very end of the show yesterday. I had it in the pile. I just, you know, the time sneaks up on us. You know, we just have a jam show every day, and it's the end of the show. I'm like, all right, I got to mention this. And we only got to talk about it for like a minute or so. And I gave Fester an assignment. And this has to do with the Girl Scout cookies. There was a big like a PR blast on this. And the story was all over the place over the last couple of days that the Girl Scouts, because of the pandemic, the Girl Scouts have millions of unsold boxes of Girl Scout cookies. Do-si-dos, tag-alongs, thin mints.
Samoa's my favorite.
Samoa's.
Have you tried the new lemon ones with the little powdered sugar?
Yes. Oh,
delightful.
Yeah, usually every year there's like some new cookie that they sell. Well, anyway, the Girl Scouts nationwide sitting on millions of boxes. Like, oh my God. So the story was that they had 15 million unsold boxes of cookies. And you know, listen, this is how the troops fund their operations for the girls. Hey, Michelle was a Girl Scout leader. Michelle started her own Girl Scout troop here in the Tampa Bay area. Michelle had a South Tampa Girl Scout troop.
Like Troop Beverly Hills.
Welcome to Troop South Tampa.
Michelle started one, had like 8 or 10 girls.
We're going to be selling cookies outside of Burns today.
Stop it. Michelle did this for years. And of course, Chloe was a brownie and a Girl Scout. It was fantastic. And Fester, you remember picking up cookies with your pickup truck.
I have the honor of being MJ's only friend who drove a truck back then.
Right.
So,
and Fester would pick up. Yeah, you know, and Chloe sold tons of cookies. Well,
you did.
I kind of helped out going through the office.
You ever see those videos of like trucks like in India that are so packed down that like the axle is dragging? And like, that's how my truck looked with so many boxes.
You ever seen The Sopranos when Syl would go collect money for Tony? That was like, MJ.
That was MJ.
Very threatening and aggressive when it came to collecting.
Where's my $4?
I'm here to collect. You got 7 boxes of Thin Mints and 2 boxes of Samoas.
So we thought, after seeing the story and mentioning it on yesterday's show, that there is an absolute glut of Girl Scout cookies, what could we do? What could the MJ Morning Show do for the community, for the Girl Scouts, and all of these jillions of unsold Girl Scout cookie boxes? Millions, 15 million boxes nationwide. The Girl Scouts is 109 years old at this point, and they're saying that it was the coronavirus that obviously put the kibosh. You know, they ordered, I guess, the same amount of cookies, but with the coronavirus and the pandemic, you know, you have fewer girls going. We saw them typically, you know, still outside of like Walmart or supermarkets, you know, selling the cookies.
But think about it. Everybody has masks on. So you are like, you might feel a little bit guilty when you're walking by if you see the whole facial expression. Okay, let me buy some cookies with masks. There's anonymity. Just keep on walking.
There's also no less people at work. I mean, MJ, you'd go to the workplace and you sell 200 people in the office.
Right. That was the big deal. I mean, literally, I would walk through the office with the form, and in the radio station office alone, when we were over on Gandhi, Chloe would sell like 350, 400 boxes just inside the office. You know, when you had a full house with all the sales weasels and the cubicles and everything. And I used to maybe use some little strong arm tactics to sell the cookies.
But, you know, then there was this guy, Day Late Norm. Right. Day Late Norm.
Oh, yeah, Norm.
His daughter was in Girl Scouts, and he'd bring like the form in on like Tuesday, and everybody would already bought from MJ.
And he'd be like, damn that MJ. Damn. Oh, Norm hates me.
I love him. Norm's great.
I think Norm hated me for the Girl Scout cookie deal because I beat him like 3-4 years in a row. I already made the whole rounds and sold cookies, and he would do it like days later. Not bought for MJ. Thank you. He'd sell like nothing inside the office.
Poor Norm. Well, I bought some from Norm just because I felt bad.
Anyway.
You and Big Rig, only two.
I sent Fester on a mission. I said, Fester, with this story, get a hold of the local Girl Scouts Council here in the Tampa Bay area, where Michelle had plenty of dealings over the years, and find out, get a hold of the head and find out what we can do. How can the MJ Morning Show help sell all of these Girl Scout cookies? Because if there are 15 million unsold boxes nationwide, there's got to be a good chunk of unsold cookies in the Tampa Bay area. So Fester, you didn't drop the ball.
Amazingly.
Fester, this is breaking news in itself that Fester actually followed through and did not drop the ball on this. Yep. This is a Fox News alert. Fester actually followed through on something and didn't burn down a van also. All right, so So, Fester, you get a hold of whom at the Girl Scouts locally?
So, Girl Scouts of West Central Florida called, left a message.
Yep.
Within 3 minutes, I get a call back from Jimmy Behringer.
Jimmy Behringer, okay.
Jimmy's the chief operating officer of the Girl Scouts of West Central Florida.
Yes.
And I lay out the whole thing. I was like, hey, Jimmy, we've seen this stuff in the news. We want to help. And he goes, ah. First of all, he's a big fan of the show. He used to listen to us back in the day. Knows we're here on Q105.
Fantastic.
To us now.
Fantastic.
And he says, locally, in this area of Florida, it's not an issue. They don't have an abundance of cookies. They don't have warehouses of unsold cookies.
They don't have a glut?
No glut in West Central Florida.
They don't need help moving product?
No. He's like, thanks for the help, but we don't need it. We sold everything.
Wow.
Because we've been more opened up than other places.
Maybe, yeah. Or maybe just have larger people here who just love these cookies so much.
I think that's what it is.
So there's no backlog. There's no warehouse full. We don't need to help them move cookies. They're in good shape.
I mean, in a national scope, MJ, you can see some states were really, really closed down, as Roxanne pointed out. Yeah, she's right. You know, those states might be more affected. But here in Florida, especially our area, the West Central Florida Girl Scout region, no problem.
I call Pennsylvania and see how we can help out. Call California.
Let's call Michigan, right? Yeah. Governor Whitmer up there.
How can we help? Well, look at that. There's not an issue. So this story is like a non-story in the Tampa Bay area, but we didn't know this because the story has been a national story. It's been all over the place. It was on the Fox website. It was on the Today Show NBC website. It was USA Today. Stories everywhere. And it turns out, look, Fester was a special breaking news report that there is not a glut of Girl Scout cookies in the Tampa Bay area. So we're just fine. But we were willing to lend a hand here on the MJ Morning Show and help these folks out.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
Roxanne brought up something half an hour ago. I'm like, oh, man, we got to talk about this because I experienced this with my daughter, Chloe, and all of her friends do this. And it's this is an issue, I'm telling you. And I think this leads to, like, body dysmorphic issues, and I don't think it's good for mental health. I think it's a distorted, twisted view on reality.
Along those lines, right. I think it leads to people wanting to live on their phone, not live in real life.
All right. What are we talking about? Very simply, Roxanne, go ahead and represent to our audience exactly what you mentioned to me earlier this morning.
When I was out with my girlfriends, one of them brought her 20-year-old daughter. And beautiful girl, we were all taking photos together, and she would zhuzh up these photos.
She would what?
Zhuzh.
Wait a minute.
The old
zhuzh. I think it's spelled with a Z, by the way,
she would
oddly.
Zhuzh up?
Yes, and make them look so weird.
How do you spell that? Do you know?
I think it's with a Z.
You never heard that? The old Jewish lady who lived next to my grandmother used to say that. Oh, I'm going to get all zhuzhed up for tonight. Zhuzh up my hair.
I love it. No, I haven't heard that expression. All zhuzhed up.
Y'all zhuzhed up.
Is that like you have schmutz on your lip?
No, totally different, but same
genre. Or you want a smear of cream cheese on your bagel? All right, go ahead.
And we looked so amazing in these photos after she just went pop, 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 pop on her TikTok or on her whatever she did to them.
Filter.
We looked so much better and younger and more, you know, just fix the bone structure of your face,
it's
everything.
Like, it's photoshopping. It's taking a normal person and trying to glamorize everything. And these days with these photo apps, with two clicks, you know, you've got like teenagers and young women that are like slimming their waists and their thighs and they're changing their bone structure. They're making their jawline sharper. But it's not a real snap of reality. It's twisted. It's, you know, sort of like with the modeling or the women's magazines years ago. Remember there was a whole controversy over how these models are photographed. Obviously they're in pretty good shape to begin with, but then they do all this airbrushing and retouching of the photos. Remember there was a whole discussion and a debate over all of these perfect looking women and all these magazines and what it transmits, what it telegraphs to young women and how it's an unrealistic view of life. And that these girls growing up today, they think they have to be perfect. They've got to look like these models. And remember there was a movement. What was it?
Dove soap.
Right.
Dove, it was Dove. Yeah.
But also was it CVS or Walgreens? Didn't they say that they...
Walgreens, yeah.
They, like, in their makeup section, that yeah. The pictures and the models that they wanted...
Normal women.
Normal women. Remember that? It was one of the... Yeah. You think it was Walgreens?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you have a picture taken, and then this girl goes and puts it through some app, and then completely... zhuzhes all you guys up.
Just zhuzh them up. Yep,
and,
that's right.
And so I was making a joke, and I was like, wow, I need to take this photo to a plastic surgeon and say, okay, let's kind of do this. Yeah. And I was making a joke, and she's like, yeah, I like my lips, but I would look much better if they were just a little bit bigger. I'm like, yeah. Your lips are perfect.
Yeah. Do this to me in real life, what this girl did in 10 seconds, like running this picture through a filter on her phone. I have Chloe on the phone. So, Chloe, my lovely daughter, Chloe. Chloe is 19. She'll be 20 at the end of the summer. And, Chloe, welcome back to Daddy's Show, the MJ Morning Show.
Hi, good morning.
Chloe, now we've had this discussion before. Do you take any pictures that you don't run through a filter before you post it?
I'll edit some, but there are some that I don't edit. I think it just depends on the photo.
But you edit most of the photos, and I think your friends do the same thing. And I just think that it's a twisted, distorted, unrealistic view of reality and life. If you take every photo, first of all, Chloe and kids her age, they're obsessed with photos and selfies. And, you know, you look over and they're snapping pictures of themselves. Yeah, I'm like, stop with the pictures.
Yo.
Hey, Wang, what's with the photos? It's a parking lot. You know, great line. That's from Caddyshack, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
40-year-old reference. Very good.
So, Chloe, why can't you just, why all the selfies and then stop with the filtering? Just take a normal picture. You're beautiful enough.
Well, I think the selfies and just all the photos, that certainly is an epidemic. And, you know, the editing, I think it is, it's just increasingly becoming more of an issue because I think it's just the beauty standards these days. And I think we're actually, as a society, dealing much better with that because, you know, we see all of these adjustments with society norms and you see more of the plus size models and everything. But I think still you see, the Kardashians, for example, you see little girls watching them.
Oh, jeez.
Little girls wanting to become them. And I just think...
I want them all to disappear, to be quite honest. I just want them to go away.
Thank you for that answer, Miss Tampa.
That was like a beauty pageant answer. How often do I yell at you, Chloe, for taking selfies?
Every day.
Every day, exactly. All right, sweetie, I'll see you in a bit, okay?
Bye.
Yeah, bye, pretty girl.
What a good answer.
Yeah, I thought she'd be funnier coming from you, but
she's so much smarter than you.
Good answer.
10 out of 10.
All right. Memories. What is your earliest memory? This is really interesting. I saw a story last night about memories and what you remember and from how young you were. This is really interesting. So I want to grab some calls on this, on your earliest memories and what it means. Hold on. Next on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
Oh, my God. What did you just do?
Damn it.
It's the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. Fester.
I can't put on my headphones.
You got to get a picture of this.
What did you do, Froggy?
Hold on. I'll put your headphones on. Hold on. Let me
put my headphones on, please.
Edge is coming around the mic, putting Froggy's headphones on right now.
Froggy, that is your karma for sending that text message that caused me to go to work on Monday. This is what you get.
Come on, just put, don't touch MJ. Don't touch
him. Damn it.
Hold your hand up. Let me see this hand of yours.
Froggy is covered with spray paint. Froggy's hand is covered with like a teal colored spray paint. What did you just, listen, I'm supposed to talk about memories
I messed up again.
What did you just do?
I thought this was, what does this look like to you?
Let me see this thing.
looks kind of like a...
Right, Froggy just handed me a can.
What does that look like to you?
Industrial Choice by Rust-Oleum. Precision line inverted marking chalk.
I didn't read all that. Just glance at it. This, what does it look like?
This is a can of spray paint that they use to mark, like, utilities on the street.
Damn it.
Where do you find this?
It was just sitting right there by the dispenser for hand sanitizer. I thought it was sanitizing spray.
You know what? You're the same type of person who would spray Gorilla Glue in your hair.
I mean, it's not far off, Roxanne.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was antibacterial spray whatever.
Where is all of the... Is it just on your hand?
It's on my hand. It's on my sweater a little bit. I sprayed it on my hand to wipe it and give my hand a wipe.
So you thought that this was...
Doesn't it look at it. From afar, doesn't it look like sort of a aerosol... Like spray.
All right, first of all.
A cleaner, if you will.
Right, we are rolling MJTV on this, correct, Coop?
Yeah, I'm rolling right now.
All right, I'm going to hold this up to the camera so people can see this. So later on today, folks, as soon as this is posted, afternoon or 1 o'clock, we post video segments from the show. We will post this segment on our website. So this will be on MJTV later on. Froggy, this was where in the...
It was right next to, you know, when you walk by that pool table? I was going to go get some paper, and they have the pump for your hand. They have another thing there for sanitization, and then they have that right next to it. It's almost like somebody put it there as a joke.
All right, Froggy grabbed a can of spray paint, thinking it was like sanitizer or
yeah,
some
I was
kind
just gonna
of a,
douse myself
like a disinfectant spray. Now this is the can of spray paint, an inverted marking paint to mark a pavement.
All right, who uses aerosol disinfectant to clean their hands?
I do.
Hey, all stop right. using all those disinfectants and let your natural immune system work.
And here's a can of surface disinfectant and deodorant that we have in the studio. So you're saying you confuse these?
I just grabbed it and I went, I'm just going to douse my hands and clean them up real good because I touched disgusting stuff around here. Door handles. Pool balls.
Froggy has.
And then I'm like, why is this sanitizer green?
Son of a, I just got it on my head too.
Ha! Oh. Yeah!
No, I didn't. It's because.
What you get.
You've got it all over, damn it. You've got it all over the top of the can.
It's all over my hand too, so.
Yeah, well, what happened was, MJ, he sprayed his hand and then put it in his hand. Now the paint's on top of the can.
Sorry, I made a mess of this show.
Froggy has no idea how to handle a spray paint can.
I'm supposed to talk about, now I got stuff, it looks like I robbed a bank or something, the dye pack exploded.
This is like when I accidentally, when I used to put powder on my junk, and I accidentally did the Ajax. Not quite as painful.
Yeah, Froggy once put Ajax down his pants instead of fast acting tenactin.
It was Comet, wasn't it?
Comet. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's harsh.
Whatever it was. Froggy, you just derailed the whole
thing. Sorry, this sucks.
I was going to talk about memories here.
Coop, give me something to wipe my hands with.
Yeah, me too. I've got.
Come on, Coop!
So I touched Froggy's can and there's paint all over the top of
it. What is he going to bring out? Paint thinner? I mean, you guys are screwed until the next commercial break. You got to scrub it off.
This is some fast drying stuff.
That's kind of the point of spray paint. It dries quickly.
I look like I just, well.
Can you hold it up to the camera? Hold it up.
It's like me and the Incredible Hulk had a fun time.
Oh, my God.
It's like you and Kermit the Frog when you get ice cream.
I've never heard of anyone using an aerosol can.
It's just something I would do to
room disinfectant to then spray it on your hands.
I do it with the can in here. I do it with Windex, too.
The skin on your hands is just going to fall off.
Looks like Froggy and the Grinch just did a little Netflix and chill.
All right. folks, breaking news. Froggy's doused in paint. Now, I've got paint on my
hand. I got it on my pants now.
You're screwed. You're just screwed.
Sorry.
All right. Let me start the memory story. We'll carry this over to the next segment. Because I want to grab some phone calls on this, and then I also want to sort of talk about my memories. So last night, stumbled across this story. Earliest memories can be recalled from as young as 2.5 years old, according to the study. So people apparently can remember things much earlier than what experts first thought. It was once believed that humans' earliest memories began around the age of 3.5, but new research is showing that your earliest memories can be actually way back to 2.5, so a whole year or so earlier.
I wonder if memories come about when we're able to sort of grasp language. I wonder if that has an effect
you
on.
You can't on remember house. Anything from 2 and a half.
Yes, you can. Dude, I do too.
No, you can't.
I do too.
All right, Froggy. Froggy. Hey, spray paint boy, shut up. I can remember things back to 2 and a half. Hold on.
That's
I
know, a lie.
Oh, Froggy's called me a liar now. I will give you, Froggy, I'll tell you what. I will give you, in moments, I will give you specifics. I will give you specific memories of things that I remember when I was 2 years old.
Please.
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
All right, memories. Look at the phones. Phones are already loaded up. I'd love to grab your calls in this. What is the earliest memory that you can remember? Fester, can you get the phone screener up?
Yeah.
All right, what is the earliest, folks, the earliest memory that you can remember? There's new research out from the University of Newfoundland.
Oh.
So actually, it's the Memorial University of Newfoundland. Dr. Carol Peterson put out a press release that, and I'm not going to get into all the science here, but just in a nutshell, that it was believed that most people had memories back to about 3 and a half years old. New research is saying 2 and a half. And my question is, what is the earliest memory that you can remember? Was it positive? Was it traumatic? 800-990-1047. Want to hear from our listeners. What is the earliest memory that you have? 800-990-1047. We'll grab calls here in a second. 800-990-1047. Froggy,
yeah.
You're being contentious. You're picking at me. You're like doubting me. You're calling me a liar.
Well, you know, it's funny. I remember this is back when I was an embryo, and it was so funny. I was in the womb.
Wise ass.
And I was so warm.
Okay. Yeah,
right. You were developing, you were growing.
You were like all cocooned up. You were very in a very tight space, right?
Yeah, my umbilical cord was all itchy. I mean, it was so funny.
Stop it. All right. So, Froggy, I remember when I was two. Please. I can remember my second birthday, which was at Adventures Inn in Queens, New York.
That sounds fun.
You know that you had that there. You probably have pictures. Nope, you manifested this in your head.
Nope. I literally remember the chairs. I remember the birthday cake. That was my second birthday. Second birthday at Adventures Inn in Queens. It's like a roller coaster. It's a little amusement park. It's all gone. Then, wait a minute. We lived at, when we were a kid, before we moved to Nanuet, when I was three, we lived in Bayside, Queens. Not far, right off the Throgs Neck Bridge area in Bayside, Queens. I remember our apartment. I remember that as a little kid, 2 years old, I used to watch my dad get ready for work. There are no photos of this. I would stand by him in the bathroom. There was a hallway bathroom that he used to shave. And I remember the wallpaper was, it was like a brown with like a almost like the spray paint color that you just got all over the damn place.
Mm, real classy.
And my dad, I used to watch him shave. I used to watch him slap the cologne on his, the aftershave on his
Aquavelva.
I used to watch that. I have memories. I had, you know, those wooden puzzles, not the cardboard puzzles, but you know, the wooden puzzles with the chunky pieces that had the little like plastic sticks on top that you just to drop them in. You know what I'm talking about?
Exactly.
I remember shoving those pieces under the refrigerator in our little kitchen.
I thought you were going to say up your nose.
I remember that I had a little half bedroom off of the kitchen. I can totally visualize, and we had little slatted louvered doors.
We don't have to go down every memory.
The point is that I in that apartment, I was in my twos. I was 2 years old. I remember.
All right. You remember your mommy wiping your butt?
Hang on a minute. Then Grandma Minky. Grandma Minky, my mom's mom, the beloved Grandma Minky, who is no longer with us. She died some years ago at the age of 92 and a half years old.
From but, what?
Well, she had Alzheimer's, if you wanted the truth. So my Grandma Minky was parked in front of our apartment building, Bayside, Queens, New York. She was parked in front of the building, and I was in the car. I was in a car seat in the back of the car. I think I was
I can't take this anymore.
Dude.
This is lies.
Listen to me.
I was in a car seat?
I don't know if I was in a car seat. I'm just assuming. Listen to me.
Not in the late 60s, early 70s.
Guys.
You were just thrown in the back seat.
I was in Grandma Minky's car, and I don't remember where I was. Grandma Minky opens up the driver's door, swings it open, and a food truck. There was a truck back in the day in New York called Mr. Chow Chow, or the Chow Chow food truck. And it was like a Mr. Softy type truck, except they did Chinese food and like noodles and, you know,
delicious
lo mein or chow mein, whatever. It was Mr. Chow Chow truck. The truck came by, my grandma whipped open her door, the truck smashed into my grandma's door and snapped the whole door back. I can't remember if the door actually, you know, fell onto the ground, but the whole door was, I mean, the car was wrecked.
Oh my gosh.
You know,
I feel like I just relived it with you.
Yeah, that's a lot of memories you've just unpacked.
Listen, I remember I was in my twos when that happened.
What did she say? What did Minky say?
Oh, no. Are you okay, Todd? Are you okay, Megan?
I remember this forever.
Yeah. I do remember being a two-year-old memory. I was at Mrs. Boyette's house. She babysat me. There was a baby in the room who I like to go peek at, and I woke her up accidentally. Mrs. Boyette got mad at me, and I said, I swear I did it on purpose. I did it on purpose because I used to mix up on purpose and by accident.
Look at that.
Lies. So I remember the feeling and that exchange. No one took a picture of it, so I know that's real.
Look at this.
Lies.
Sarah's doubting me. Sarah's in Tampa. Sarah, you're doubting me as well?
Hey, James, I love you. But you don't know how many arguments I've gotten with my husband because I have said I remember things that have happened at the age of 4. And he's like, no, that is too young.
But Sarah, I've got this new research from this Memorial University in Newfoundland, Canada, and they're saying 2.5. But Sarah, you know,
people, your family members, y'all, they talk about it. Y'all, you see pictures, and then it's like you somewhat remember.
There were no pictures of my grandma's door getting snapped off.
But that's a very popular, probably famous story within your family that everybody talks about.
I don't know that I appreciate Sarah doubting this Canadian research.
I saw it. Sarah, thanks for the call. I saw it.
Doubter.
And I remember getting out of the car because my mom was across the street and my mom came to get us. I think my grandmother was bringing, my mom was outside. And I remember seeing the truck, the door was all peeled back and like wedged against the front fender of the car. All right, back to phones. Let me grab Scott and Valrico. Scott, you're on the MJ Morning Show, Q105.
Hey, good morning.
What do you remember?
Most people do not believe me, but when I was 18 months old, just over 18 months old, I remember moving to a new house.
Oh, MJ,
I know that's a traumatic event.
You beat me. I remember like probably 2.5 is what I...
But you big story topper.
But hold on a sec. Scott, I don't think you're a liar. I'm not going to call you a liar like Froggy's calling me. But this new research says that memories can go back as far as 2.5 years old. Thanks for the call, Scott. I appreciate it. Eric, what do you remember, buddy?
Yeah, I was a little over 2. I was on an international plane flight with my mom, and I was getting very restless because, you know, those flights last 12 hours.
Yeah.
And so she put me over to look out the window, hoping it would entertain me. And when I discovered, looking down, we were like 35,000 feet in the air, I freaked out. I thought we were going to fall.
So, 2 years old. Look at that. Good story, Eric. All right, let me grab Wendy quickly here. Wendy, MJ Morning Show from Spring Hill. Hi, Wendy.
Hey, I have a memory that they didn't tell me about it until I brought it up to my mom one time, of taking my tricycle, going down and meeting my father. He was a mile away. And my babysitter freaked out, called my mother, called my grandfather, yep, called everybody because I was missing. And my grandfather said, oh, don't worry about it. I just saw her taking her bike by.
And again, how old were you? Tell Froggy.
I was roughly 2 years old, and nobody told me about it until I started talking about it.
There you go. Look at that. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I remember racing to the egg with my possible brothers or sisters.
The research shows it, proves it, Froggy. All right,
Froggy beat like 27 million of his brothers. Right,
ladies and gentlemen, next. Somebody made a food item that is being compared to a war crime. Somebody made a food item that's being compared to a war crime. Hold on. Get to that next on the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
So wait a minute. This food item is so horrific that people are comparing it to, like, taking out civilians with landmines in a field, or kids walking to school in Afghanistan or something?
The way it looks or the way it tastes?
I think it's the whole concept.
Look, I've seen a lot of bad recipes online, a lot of stupid challenges and concoctions. I've never compared any of them to a war crime.
I agree.
Popcorn salad was pretty bad.
This is pretty awful. Oh, by the way, KISS tickets. You want a pair of KISS tickets? We'll give those away just after 9:20. So a little less than a half an hour from right now, we'll give away KISS tickets here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. KISS is coming to the amphitheater on October 9th. Got a pair of tickets for you in about half an hour here on Q105. So this guy makes a watermelon pizza. It's like, what?
Ew.
Yeah, ooh. So he takes a watermelon, and then from the center of the watermelon, you get to the very center. So you have the watermelon on a table, you go to the very center of the watermelon, and then you cut a perfectly round slice. You know, the part of the watermelon where you can get the nice, biggest, roundest piece.
Oh, you mean the pizza crust.
So that would be the pizza crust, that would be the base.
Right.
And then this guy proceeds to put barbecue sauce and cheese and chorizo on top. And the watermelon is the crust. Oh, my God.
There's so many good things you can do with watermelon.
Just eat it plain.
Yeah.
How about that?
True.
You'll get a good mid to late season watermelon where they're sweeter. And watermelon is phenomenal all by itself.
Yeah, watermelon juice.
Who the hell is... I love watermelon juice.
I like to get the red part and cut that off and just eat the green part. Yeah. You ever do that?
You know, it's so good. Yeah, the green you know part. What? The red part is just a nuisance. Get rid of all that.
That part's gross.
Yeah, you eat the white and the green parts. The best part of the watermelon.
That's where all the flavor is.
We're talking about rubbish.
And then maybe also you can get some nice salmonella by eating the outside that's been touched by everyone as it sits in a supermarket bin somewhere.
That's what we're shooting for.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have goals.
By the way, when you guys cut watermelon, do you thoroughly scrub the outside of the watermelon?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people do this.
You do.
I roll it around in the grass.
For instance, I picked up a great watermelon at Sprouts in South Tampa. Big watermelon, the seedless, $3.99. It was a great price. And when I get watermelons home, before I cut them and cube them, I absolutely scrub with soap and water the total outside of the watermelon, because you know what the heck's on that thing.
No. You're supposed to massage it for about an hour, too. Did you know that?
It makes me feel like I'm bonding with the guys in the field when I can taste their hands.
Ew. My God.
Ew. That was so descriptive. Hey,
we were driving through Georgia. Where were we? Where were we going? We were in Georgia. We might have been driving off of I-95 to go see Michelle's old house in Albany when her dad was in the Marines. And we passed by this huge watermelon field off of I-95. We're heading towards Albany, Georgia. This is maybe 10 years ago. And there's a huge watermelon field. And you could see that there are trucks there and they're putting the watermelons in and a whole field full of workers. So I pull in. And it's like a foreman guy, and I say, hey, can I buy a watermelon? Nope.
No, you can't.
Well, hold on. He said, nope. I said, what do you mean? He said, just go take whatever you want.
What? So,
yes, that's what he said.
I got chased by a farmer in Iowa for stealing a stock of corn one time.
Yeah. So
they don't mess around.
It sounds like a country song.
I wasn't a piggy, but I grabbed two. So we were able to walk through the watermelon field and I found two watermelons that looked great and they were phenomenal. But anyway, this is disgusting. Coop, do you have an image of this watermelon pizza with barbecue sauce and cheese on our website?
Yeah, there's a video up on MJMorningShow.com under the drivel. And I didn't believe this guy until I heard that he was British.
Right.
So now I trust him.
Oh, my God. This is disgusting, folks. So the images, you want to see this thing? Go to MJMorningShow.com. That's MJMorningShow.com. And then go to the Daily Drivel section. And you'll see this horrific pizza made of watermelon that people are comparing to a war crime. This is clearly tantamount to the landmines that Princess Diana was trying to get rid of. Absolutely. Hands down.
Just like
that. Right. And this is from his TikTok video?
Yeah, this is from his TikTok account.
All right, listen.
So everyone's arguing right now about whether watermelon belongs on pizza or not, but I wanted to flip the question on its head and ask, does pizza belong on watermelon? I went for a barbecue-based rather than tomato, then some mozzarella and chorizo, and it turned out so tasty in the end, and you've got to give this a go for yourself.
God, turn down the radio.
Yeah, it is so grotesque looking, folks. If you want to see it, we'll have it up at MJMorningShow.com in the Daily Drivel section. Watermelon cut from the center to get a round, like, pizza pie shape. So it's a whole disc of watermelon, and then putting barbecue sauce and cheese and sausage, chorizo on. It is grotesque.
It's delicious, right?
What is worse than a war crime? It's a crime against humanity? I don't know. It's horrific. All right, next. Hold on to that thought. Two big things next here on the MJ Morning Show. First of all, have you ever heard of testing positive for drugs after eating a burrito?
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
It's Leslie Wunderman on the MJ Morning Show at Q105. It's 9:07.
So weird.
That's her real name, by the way.
Good job, Leslie.
Yeah. Taylor Dane's real name is Leslie Wunderman. Yeah, Fester just looked her up on Wikipedia to see what the hell she was doing these days. She's 59 years old, and her real name, Leslie Wunderman.
Yeah, coming to the stage now, Leslie Wunderman, everybody. Leslie Wunderman.
Tell it to my heart.
You know Taylor Swift's real name? Apparently her first name's Gertrude. What's her last name? I don't know. Turd Swift.
All right, now, I've never heard of this. Well, I've never heard of eating a burrito and then testing positive for drugs.
What was in the burrito?
Well, we'll get to that here. It's not like, you know, you had Walter White's, famous blue crystal meth inside.
Can I get extra guac and extra meth on my burrito, please?
This is really bad. It's about an Olympic hopeful by the name of Shelby Houlihan, and she had a positive drug test, a positive performance enhancing steroid test. And she says, I don't take performance enhancing steroids. This is crazy. The story here for me is, you believe her or not? Yes or no? This is a woman by the name of Shelby Houlihan. She got a 4-year ban after testing positive for nandrolone, N-A-N-D-R-O-L-O-N-E. Which she's blaming on eating a pork burrito from a food truck.
Yum!
According to the 28-year-old, she was notified of the positive test results from an out-of-competition urine test given by the World Anti-Doping Agency back in December. Now, she tried to figure out, what did she do? You know, she logged all her food from the previous week, and she and her trainers, they believe the nandrolone that came back as positive from her test came from a pork burrito that she bought from a food truck the night before the test. Nandrolone is an androgen, an anabolic steroid that helps people, humans, build muscle mass. And the World Anti-Doping Agency noted that eating meats like pig can cause the presence of the steroid.
Don't they say now that, you know, they put so many steroids and hormones in all kinds of meat? So, I mean, it could make sense.
I don't think it's out of the question. You know, she's pretty adamant, but then listen, so is Lance Armstrong. Oh, you know, the kids were watching, what was on TV the other day? Lance Armstrong, what was the movie? There was a
documentary about him?
No. There was a movie where Lance Armstrong makes a cameo. Yeah, makes a quick cameo.
Was it some stupid, like, kids movie?
No, it was like, I think Will Ferrell was in the movie.
Oh, so it was a stupid kids movie.
Yeah. What was it? So Lance Armstrong made an appearance in the movie. I'm like, ooh, that didn't age very well. anyway, so the World Anti-Doping Agency, I guess they recognize that if you eat certain parts of a pig, and the pig is treated with the steroid for growth, that it's possible. So just 1 week before the start of the U.S. Olympic track and field trials, she is a 1,500 meter and 5,000 meter record holder. She is probably going to be kept out of the 2024 Olympic Games now in Paris.
Hope that burrito is worth it.
Oh, it was dodgeball, by the way. Lance Armstrong.
Thank you. That's right. It was dodgeball. No, it wasn't Will Ferrell. It was
Adam.
It was
Ben.
Ben Stiller.
Whoever they, Ben Stiller was in it. That's right. Yeah. And Lance Armstrong does a cameo in Dodgeball. I'm like, ooh, that didn't age well.
All right. So if the World Doping Association acknowledges that, hey, sucking on a pig can give you this trace.
If you test positive, you test positive. She says, I feel completely devastated, lost, broken, angry, confused, and betrayed by the very sport that I loved and poured myself into to see how good I was. I want to be very clear, Houlihan said. I've never taken any performance-enhancing substances, and that includes the one of which I have been accused.
I know what happened. I just realized it. She bought this from an authentic Mexican food truck, but it was actually Russians disguised as Mexicans that gave her doped up meat so that she would fail because they're very competitive in the Olympics. Yes.
Now, can I come out positive if I sit next to a pig every day? Is that possible?
Don't get a test is all I'm saying.
Are you making a Fester joke? What are you doing, Frog? You leave him alone. Leave Fester alone.
You're telling me to leave Fester alone with a fat joke.
Okay. Leave Fester alone.
It has long been understood by WADA that you can...
What is that?
What?
WADA.
What is WADA?
World Anti-Doping Agency.
Oh, WADA.
God, you guys don't even know.
WADA.
You guys, what are you talking about?
Why do you know?
WADA. So WADA acknowledges that this could be a false positive. I say you give her another shot.
So this is not WADA under the bridge, obviously.
Yeah, I say kick her out of the sport for life.
What do you want me to do about it?
Yeah, she appealed the initial ruling, and the sport, the court of arbitration for the sport, did not accept her explanation. She's screwed. She's out.
Stop sucking on pig snout.
Yeah. She says, I do this sport because I love it. I have so much fun doing it, and it's always the best part of my day.
But I love burritos.
This sport means everything to me. I believe doping and cheating is weak. I would never disrespect the sport, my competitors, my teammates, my coaches, my family, my friends, everyone. I love the sport too much.
Well, you did.
I've always wanted to stand at the top of an Olympic podium with a gold medal around my neck, knowing I did that, and now I'm not sure if that will ever happen.
It won't.
So, do you, I know nothing about her. Do you believe her? You think she ate a burrito with this steroid in the pork meat, and that's why she tested positive, or you think she's yanking our chain?
Well, searching for a crack pipe.
And then we have the Gorilla Glue girl.
She won't go away.
Hey, do we have the audio of her? Remember the old video of her where she's like, bad, bad, bad idea. Anyway, she will not go away. Tessica Brown, who put the Gorilla Glue in her hair, thinking it was, what, a hair-holding hairspray? I mean, when it says glue on the label, and of course, she went viral. This is back in February. She had this giant, like, fiberglass glue helmet on, had to go to, what, Beverly Hills to some doctor to have it removed? I mean, what a mess. She has launched her own line of hair care products.
Oh,
Yes, this is the update. The update on Gorilla Glue Lady is she has launched her own line of hair care products.
We gotta get that.
From Louisiana, obviously. Her TikTok video has been viewed more than 50 million times. She's launched Forever Hair. It's called Forever Hair. Website is up. She's already selling clothing with, I guess, her image on it.
I'll take one shirt.
She has something called Forever Hold, which does not contain glue. You will not need to have surgery.
Pretty sure Forever Hold's already taken.
Well, that's the name of her product. So now she's capitalizing on the glue by launching her own hair care line.
She sticks around like Gorilla Glue.
All right, hold on. Tessica Brown, how much do you think she gets on Cameo?
I don't know.
$500.
What?
She wants $500 to say hello to you on Cameo?
To have Gorilla Glue Girl wish you happy birthday.
Tell you what, I'll give her $500 if she pours crazy glue in her eyes. that's what I'll give her $500 for that. All right. Hollywood Dirt, morons. We got a lot of stuff in the next segment, folks. Don't move. And Kiss tickets. We'll give away Kiss tickets in just a matter of minutes here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
When I say the name Chrissy Teigen, there is a clear, visceral response of just absolute horror from Roxanne. You really despise Chrissy Teigen.
Now her most recent apology, she apologizes every other week, is just another platform for her to brag and show how cutesy she is.
Oh, God.
I mean, she's going through this whole apology and then she's bragging about being at book signings and people will call her a badass and she was like, oh, that's not me. And then she's bragging about how she just thought she was being quippy and sarcastic and snarky and fun. So she's just a big platform for her to brag.
My wife says she looks like a fruit bat.
I still am sticking with the fact that her cheeks look like sunny side up eggs, and I want them with bacon and some hash browns right now.
Well, she does love cooking. She should put that on her Chrissy Teigen cookbook menu.
She's very unlikable. She comes off very... I don't know much about her, but she seems very unlikable.
Well, are you guys crazy? I love this. I love Chrissy.
So you like Chrissy Teigen?
Yes.
What?
I saw her this summer, last summer. Show me the funny. Hysterical. With your buddy, Kenan Thompson, and Jeff
Foxworthy? He's not my buddy. I don't know Kenan. Stop saying that.
Michelle really dislikes Chrissy Teigen. I mean, really, really dislikes her.
It's John Legend is such a great musician. Yeah, it's crazy he's married to such a nut.
She's married to John Legend, and the latest now is she's apologizing again for the whole Courtney Stodden bullying. And then, I don't know who this guy is, but... Michael Costello of Project Runway.
He tried to ruin his life.
Yeah. All right. So you know who he is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So Michael Costello, from Project Runway, he claims that she was such a bully. He says that she bullied him so much that he had suicidal thoughts.
What? Right.
He's a designer.
Chrissy Teigen caused him to almost want to kill himself.
How weak is that guy?
That's a bigger problem with Michael Costello than with
Teigen. Read her tweets to him, her private messages to him.
Please. We've all gotten...
You would by proxy.
I've gotten death threats. Yeah, I'll laugh at him. Come on.
Okay. You know, I mean, what you said, it was so mean to this Costello designer. I think I want to kill myself. John Legend's wife doesn't like me.
It's true. Who cares?
She was just saying that she hoped his career was ruined, his garbage career that started. I feel like she just has a lot of hate in her.
Take it from somebody who has a garbage radio career. Me.
But it's years. It's years of this with Chrissy Teigen, apparently. Yeah,
she's a real...
Her life was so great. That's what she was doing. You have to judge people by what they are at their best and what they are at their worst.
But I know her life's great.
This woman, Chrissy Teigen, seems like a miserable human being who's like this one-woman emotional wrecking ball, you know, and just trying to smash people, right?
Yeah, exactly. Perfect description.
Maybe John Legend's just always singing and she's just about to lose her mind. Like, stop singing. I'm tired of it.
No, honey. No. Honey, I just did this on the piano. Just sit and listen to it for a second.
I get it. You love music.
No, it's a good song, honey. Trust me.
Piers Morgan, you know, the TV host Piers Morgan. The British dude, says that Chrissy Teigen would have led the charge to cancel anyone else who said the hateful filth that she spewed. So why should we forgive her now she's been exposed as a repulsive, hypocritical bully?
That's 100% correct.
He's kind of right.
Would be the first in line to say, you're canceled, you're not empathetic, you don't care about humanity. I think she used those exact words in her attack on certain people.
And I'll say, Chrissy, do those cheeks come with grits? Because I am hungry.
It looks like she's got, like, lunch and dinner stored up in those cheeks, you know?
She's like a little squirrel.
It's winter in the forest.
It's a squirrel with chewed up nuts in her jowls.
Hang on a second, let me just spit these up.
By the way, those nuts, I think, are John Legend's.
Oh. That's why they're so little.
This is sort of in the Hollywood dirt realm. For the first time ever, the amount of video streaming services that Americans utilize is dropping. So for years, we've been adding streaming services, video on demand and streaming. And for the first time, new research came out on Tuesday, and for the first time, the numbers declining, that the number of streaming services that we are using is going down, down, down.
All right, we had a serious discussion in our house about Paramount Plus and Discovery Plus.
Well, how?
And we said no. We don't have either of them.
Well,
I enjoy Peacock.
Again, let's list all these things. All right.
Hulu.
Okay, let's list them all. There's Hulu.
Netflix.
Netflix.
Go, Roxanne. Disney. Plus.
You're on fire, but keep going, Rox.
YouTube.
Good answer. YouTube.
Hold on, guys, stop. Let her go.
Columbia House.
All right, stop. All right, keep going.
Okay, now I'm to the point where I have to Google them.
Is that Peacock. You didn't even say.
All right, so Peacock.
HBO Max.
HBO Max.
Showtime Max.
Anyway, here's the deal.
YouTube.
There are too many.
There's too many.
Yeah, too many.
If you subscribe to everything, how much money would you be spending a month?
And law of diminishing returns. You can't even enjoy all the programming.
You can't watch all the stuff that's available.
There's too much.
So I'm trying to look at what we have in our house, and I pay for some. My dad has us on a family plan for Hulu. So my dad is apparently on some kind of
plan.
Why
does your dad have to pay for your streaming services?
What?
Okay.
It's a family plan.
He just offered it up. Apparently he has a whole family plan and he's able to add like family members.
You have a hard time, sir?
For Christmas this year, I got you my Hulu password. So
my dad built an account for us. So, I'm not on Hulu much. But we do have Hulu. That's courtesy of my dad. I pay for Netflix. We have Amazon Prime. So we have, some of the free services and movies and from Amazon Prime. So we have that, which is included in our yearly Prime amount. We get HBO Max because I subscribe to HBO through my cable provider. So we've got Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, and that's all we have. We've got four. We had Disney Plus free on the Verizon cell phones for a year, but then, when the year ran out, I'm like, we don't need it. So
I sit there on those websites and I look and I always end up on Bob Ross, the Joy of Painting channel. Always. It's like there's so too many choices. I can't decide.
And next.
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
Who did Roger Waters from Pink Floyd tell to F off? Does anybody know this story?
No.
Am I the only one with the keys to this? Roxanne,
I know it, so I'm not going to guess.
Roxanne, you will recuse yourself.
And excuse myself.
Coop, do you know the story by any chance in the producer's booth?
I have no. You said Roger Waters?
Yeah, Roger Waters from, do you even know who that is?
Is that like the bassist or something? The drummer?
Do you know one song by Pink Floyd?
Yeah, another Brick in the Wall.
No, hold on. Why do you say Pink Floyd? He didn't know it was Pink Floyd.
Fester, I mean, what are you
doing?
You
said it.
You said it.
Roger Waters from Pink Floyd.
Oh, yeah. Did I say? Oh,
MJ,
okay.
You an idiot.
All right, I guess I'm a big fat idiot. All right.
All right. Are we going to guess or
all
what?
Right, so, yeah, here's the game. Who did Roger Waters from Pink Floyd tell to F off?
All right.
Froggy, Fester, and Cooper eligible. Roxanne knows, so she's going to take herself out of the competition. Froggy, who do you think it is?
So easy. Pete Townsend.
No.
That would have been a classic rock fight.
All right, Fester, you want to. Who do you think it is?
Of course, it has to be the Pope.
Guess was stupid.
I mean, there's 7 million people in this world.
Coop, who do you think it is?
Gordon Ramsay.
Let's keep going.
That's a good guess. All right,
Gordon Ramsay.
Let me give you a clue. Let me narrow this down.
Mama June.
This could go until the end of the year. The clue is this: creepy, weaselly social media.
Pauly Shore. Oh, you said weaselly.
Creepy, weaselly social media executive.
Okay.
Say okay again.
All right.
Narrows it down to like five people.
Weasley.
All right, come
Weasley
on. Who is it?
Tom from MySpace.
No.
With a joke.
Fester,
is it Zuckerberg or the bearded guy, Dorsey?
Jack Dorsey from Twitter. Your first guess was right. It is Mark Zuckerberg.
The Zuck?
My first guess was the Pope.
Listen to this. Roger Waters has revealed that Mark Zuckerberg offered him huge money to use another brick in the wall in a Facebook commercial. And Roger Waters said, no, I turned the quote little punk flat down.
Come on, Mr. Waters.
Or turned him down flat, rather.
Please, Mr. Waters, let us use it.
Listen to this. It arrived this morning with an offer for a huge, huge amount of money, said the 77-year-old bassist from Pink Floyd. The answer is bleep you, no bleeping way. And then Roger Waters continues, I only mention that because this is an insidious movement of them to take over absolutely everything. I will not be a party to this bull bleep Zuckerberg.
It's going to be funny. You're Pink Floyd. I have pink skin. I thought it would be good, you know. A little more reddish.
That's hysterical. So Roger Waters from Pink Floyd telling Mark Zuckerberg to bleep off. Go bleep yourself everything, you know?
More like Punk Floyd, huh, guys?
Right. Start writing songs about walls because Zuck will pay.
All right. Finally today, did you know, man, these are like deep, dark corporate secrets. Did you know that Airbnb, we've never used Airbnb.
I've used it once, but never again, because I found a booger on the sheet.
Oh, God.
I swear, never again.
Over one booger on one sheet.
It was, that was enough. Oh, I was horrified.
Oh, God.
But go ahead.
All right. So, Roxanne, have you ever used Airbnb?
No, but we have a couple Airbnbs.
Oh, so you have properties that you list on Airbnb.
Yes.
All right. Did you know that there is a black box team at Airbnb that just throws money at people that complain, or it goes both ways?
Like the wolf in Pulp Fiction.
Airbnb spends $50 million a year in payouts to guests and hosts, counseling sessions, patching bullet holes, hiring body removal companies.
So they are like a fixer.
And like hiring like crime scene cleanup teams. Oh my God. They spend $50 million a year on bad experiences, both the guest and the host. This is amazing. Covering costs related to patching bullet holes, finding body parts.
Body part was found in an Airbnb?
This is crazy, man.
You don't know because they keep it under wraps.
Bloomberg News got a hold of a report. They viewed a confidential Airbnb internal document that said that the company had spent about that amount of money, $50 million, to settle legal disputes, repair damage to host homes. Bloomberg spoke with current and former members of Airbnb's safety team who said that they could spend as much money as they deemed necessary to make guests and hosts who've had traumatic experiences feel supported, including booking alternative accommodations and flights, paying for counseling for victims that needed counseling after an Airbnb stay. Well, there was one case, a lady got $7 million because a career criminal had a key to a place that she had with Airbnb. The criminal went in and attacked her. So a lady did get a $7 million settlement.
Okay.
But this is crazy. Listen to this. An Airbnb staff member said the company even paid for round-the-world vacations and dog counseling sessions. One former safety agent at Airbnb described the company's approach as, quote, shooting the money cannon.
Ooh, like the money machine.
It's the money cannon. Including hiring body fluid crews to clean up blood.
Ew, how do you get that job?
Just like Quentin Tarantino.
Man, I love fluids.
Crazy.
I'm in the body fluid removal business.
What did you just tell me you called the wolf, man?
So, bad experience? If you're a host, if you're a guest, if your place is damaged. So, bad guests, if they really damage a place, Airbnb will fix the place. Apparently, $50 million is what they spent last year, apparently. That's incredible.
I want an Airbnb just to have a bad experience.
Just to get trash.
Just to get cash.
All right, folks, have a great day. Website's loaded, MJMorningShow.com. That's MJMorningShow.com. Of course, show us your MJ. You can win a brand new 2021 Kia Soul from Crown. $10,000 second prize. Third prize is $5,000. All you have to do is make a sign that says the MJ Morning Show is back on Q105. Put it on display in a great spot around the Tampa Bay area. Put it on your car, your truck. All your sign has to say is the MJ Morning Show is back on Q105. And we're giving away a car, 10 grand and 5 grand. All the details are at MJMorningShow.com, how to enter. It goes until the end of the month. MJMorningShow.com, 3 great prizes. Get in on the action. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.